30-something here. Be sure to catch my show, State of the Union Live, every other Thursday at 7 p.m. to hear an analysis of local and nationwide issues. I look forward to joining the conversation with you.
The healing power of horses. That's what you can experience at the Well-Trained Horses Ranch. When you give your time to help care for rescued horses that have suffered trauma and abuse. And for just $1 a day, 25 caring people can cover the vet and feed costs of 12 rescued horses. Won't you please be part of our healing community? To learn more, contact Susan at 707-829-3600. And thank you for caring.
Thank you.
Good morning.
That's our introductory.
I need a blessing today.
I don't know what you're going to get on this show.
Yeah, sure.
Funky music, apparently.
Yeah. I kind of like this one better than our other glasses. They're on my face, right?
This is more jamming. This is more.
This is more.
Let's get stuff done.
Yeah, this is that. Well, good morning, listeners. It's time for Inside Petaluma. Friday, 11 o'clock to noon, and I'm Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with Jason Davies and friends Peter Thompson, as always.
Good morning.
Good morning, friends. So how was everybody's meeting? It was good. Sat and played cards, ate good food, relaxed.
Time to go to bed.
Well,
3:30 for me.
Oh, well, no, I was actually a little bit before midnight, and then I put my timer on, so I'd wake up, and I did, and, yeah.
I'm crying in the middle.
Yeah.
What about you, Jason?
I was up till midnight, and a little bit after, had a little champagne.
Did your kids stay on with you?
They did.
Nice.
No pots and pans banging. No, yeah. No lots of noise. Decided against that.
Stayed home too.
No fireworks.
I didn't hear any noise. Any fireworks or anything?
I did. My dogs did.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, it was fun.
What a week.
Yeah, time is flying by still.
Yes. Is there anything we want to throw out before?
Well, I wanted to announce that there's going to be a Women's March in Petaluma. It's going to be Saturday the 19th. And it starts, I think, at 1. It's 1 to 3. No, I'm wrong. I think it's 1:30 it starts, actually. I'm not really sure. I looked at it earlier and I can't remember. You're going to have to look that up. But what we're looking for are volunteers to be marshals. And if you want to be a volunteer, we have January, let's see, we have two different dates that you have to take a short class. January 5th from 1 to 3 to be a marshal, and there may be a second one on the 16th, I believe, coming up. It's Walnut Park. It starts, and what's the time, Jason? Oh, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping people attend.
It's January 19th.
Yes. So it's important. If anybody has any questions, they can look on our website, and we can go ahead and put the information on the website.
Yep.
And what happens during martial training?
You learn how to, basically when people are walking, keeping them probably on the sidewalks, making sure just people are doing what they're supposed to do, and for safety issues is what it is. And so I think that's being done at, I'm not sure if it's at the police department or where it's going to be done. I haven't gotten that information yet.
I think
it's pretty simple, but it's important. And we need about 30 marshals, and so far about 3 people have signed up. Yeah, so it would be really great if people could jump in. And now there's two times that you can learn to be a marshal, 2 different dates. And I just have the January 5th, and I'll look up the next one and say it at the end of the show.
Okay, great. Okay. Perfect. You got anything, Jason?
Well, there are a number of things that happened in Petaluma since we last had our show. So I don't know if we want to talk about any of those news items. We also have some guests. I did see one item, suit was dismissed relating to sickening odor of a pot farm. This has been an ongoing issue. It's off of Old Adobe Road, and apparently a federal judge did rule that the group of Petaluma neighbors cannot sue a cannabis company and its lead grower under a federal racketeering and corruption law because of bad odors and noise or nuisances that don't cause the kind of measurable financial losses required to pursue the case. So this is an ongoing issue. One of the controversies that happens with the marijuana cultivation, some people don't like the smell. I don't like the smell of manure.
I was going to say, I don't have a ranch, and believe me, the smell of manure, people have heard about it.
And where my office is, I don't like the smell of burnt coffee.
Exactly. I don't either. And the Montana's Coffee and Tea Company has been better only because of complaints. But it still is pretty bad.
And there was a skirmish. There was some violence downtown, which I hate to talk about because it doesn't happen very often. But
I'm glad you're reading all my emails.
I don't like to. Well, I read this before you sent the emails, but yeah.
I know, but can you believe that?
I got the sense that these were topics you wanted to talk about.
You would think on, of all nights, that New Year's Eve, they would have had more coverage from our police department on Kentucky Street.
Well, they were probably pretty busy. It's amateur night for a lot of people, and a lot of drinking, and tensions flare, and I have no idea what actually happened, but it looked like someone just came up and hit somebody, and it's mentioned in the paper, but they don't get into a lot of the details as to what the real motive was.
Yeah.
People got to be safe. Got to be safe in town.
It's a crazy night. Did you see the guy that was going through the drive-thru at Taco Bell that night?
Oh, God.
Yeah,
passed out.
I heard about that as well.
His car in the drive-thru.
I mean, honestly, it's one of the reasons I stayed home. It's like, why get involved with all that craziness?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, I don't know, maybe if people had a dispensary in town, they'd choose that vice over alcohol, and we'd have fewer incidents like that, but who knows?
Maybe the bars should pull together and start getting, security downtown, because, they seem to think that they're not the problem.
Yeah.
So there's lots that the city can start addressing. But I also want to talk about Mayor Glass ending his long career in Petaluma.
Yep.
Yes.
He's been a great mayor. I'm going to really miss his ability to listen to what the council is saying and to be able to maneuver around and get great accomplishments. I watched him do that for years. As an example, the Riverfront Project, they wanted to push that out so it was an unlimited amount of time that they had to complete their project or start their project. David Glass brought it down to at least 5 years because he knew he could win it 5 years. If he tried 1 year or 2 years, he couldn't win. So he was a real strategic thinker, and I'm really going to miss that. And I think Teresa will step up to the plate, but he really had an ability to think quickly and come up with solutions, and people didn't quite realize that, what his capabilities were. And his accomplishments for our community.
That said, he was elected, what, 3 times?
Four times.
So.
4 and was elected 3 times.
So people liked having him back. He will be missed.
Yes.
And I think it says a lot, too, that that Teresa won with such a large margin, because obviously a lot of those voters also were David Glass supporters. Here's something funny that I saw. It's actually kind of exciting to me because I'm a big fan. Diane Keaton was in town in Petaluma, and I am so jealous of Heather Westcott. She happens to work at the Petaluma Hotel, and she got to meet Diane Keaton. There's a nice picture of them together. So, yeah, we're getting a lot of attention from celebrities, it seems. It seems like we're a little bit on the map, a little more than we used to be.
Yeah,
so that's exciting. I'm just disappointed I didn't know. I would love to meet Diane Keaton. Anyway. So that brings us to the main topic of today. I'll let you do that introduction.
Well, we have a couple of guests here in the studio. We have John Bertucci, who is our outgoing executive director here at Petaluma Community Access. And we also have Don Lewis, who will be replacing John in that role. And welcome. Good morning, guys.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Jason, Janice.
Yeah, I think you guys have a long history in this community, both of you.
Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calling card.
And I, it's funny to be here in this the new station. Everything, my paper route, you know, when I was 10, 12 years old, was down the streets.
Oh, wow.
My parents live like four blocks away, so it's pretty exciting. I'm really, I feel very lucky and to have gotten this position and some huge, huge shoes to fill. But this is my community, and I'm really happy to be here.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Congratulations on that. So, John, can you give us a little sense of what you what you've done with PCA and all your efforts here?
Oh well, let's just say this is not a casual moment in my life. It's a big transition because I kind of welded myself to the fate of PCA. It was exciting. It back in 2008, I came on, and I would say there were three phases really you could distinguish. The first 3 years was regaining stability and reclaiming our image in the community. I went to a training at the Volunteer Center, and Daphne Shapiro came up to me and said, I want to thank you. I haven't seen PCA in the news for months because we had a lot of turmoil at that time. And Cindy was there at that moment, and so was Tim Williamson, and I don't know if any other board members know. Just the three of us were there, and the first 3 years were really a challenge, getting the bills paid, getting the doors, keeping the doors open, working through staff issues, and then we hit stride, and we had Zach Smith at the time, and that was really a, we grew, he grew, and it came together quite well, so we were able to develop and save money, and the third phase was spending that money on a new radio station, where we are sitting right now, so it's been an exciting ride. And I'm very excited about Don taking over. I think this is, I think we are pulling off this transition quite well.
That's great. Well, both of you are very passionate about film, I think. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my background is in filmmaking. I've lived in Petaluma my whole life, and I started off working at Boys and Girls Clubs and then just got involved in writing about film. Went down to L.A. and got a degree in screenwriting. And then came back here, where all the cinematic action happens. You know, worked at Boys and Girls Clubs in a leadership capacity, program director in Petaluma, and also in Calistoga. And then just kind of was able to use that leadership ability on film sets, produced a couple films. I did a documentary on the World's Ugliest Dog Contest.
I remember that.
Yeah, called Worse Than Show, which was great. Didn't have to leave home. And then after that, I produced a film that went to Sundance. It's called The Violent Kind with a local filmmaker named Mitch Altieri. He lives here in Petaluma. We shot that all around here in Petaluma and Pengrove. And then did another film in Tennessee. I was gone for a month.
Wow.
And it was an amazing experience. But I quickly realized I don't want to be away from my kid for a month at a time. So came back here and started doing more Boys and Girls Club stuff. And, you know. The way it's structured now with Boys and Girls Clubs in the area, there's one club from Cloverdale down to Corte Madera, so that really limits growth opportunities.
Sure.
So I had all this training and leadership, you know, training and team building and stuff and nowhere to put it. So this opportunity came along, and I was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, it's perfect. It's local. It's something I'm passionate about Petaluma, passionate about media, passionate about music. So sorry to see John go.
So when are you actually leaving?
Well, Don,
not to rush you.
No, Don is the ED at the moment. And
okay.
I am transitionally training, supporting. doing what I can. It's not shadowing me, but we're working closely together, and it's been a great conversation, and it's going to get deeper, Don.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So I'm on for 3 more months.
Okay.
In that capacity.
Okay. So you're going to help.
Reduced hours, and it'll probably be reduced to on-call in March, and then April Fool's Day, I'll be a new Bertucci.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. And then what happens after April 1st?
There'll be quarantine. I'm going to disappear for a while, maybe travel. Certainly going to get back into my paintbrushes and be a random artist.
Nice.
Now your wife, Muriel, is she still working?
She's still working at Live Oak Charter School.
Yeah. She's going to continue to work for a little while longer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good. You get the house to yourself. You're going to love it.
That's a charm. Yeah, I'm a staycation guy. Muriel would go to France with Oriana, and I would stay home and paint.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do we want to talk about? Anything in particular? Any visions that come to mind?
I mean, ever since the position became available and I applied and started the interview process, my wheels have just been turning. I mean, John's done such an amazing job of just building this infrastructure and building this program. And I think, I mean, not to sound cliche, but kind of sky's the limit, you know. I mean, Jason and I have been friends for a while, passionate about Petaluma, about Petaluma politics. And I see a lot of the issues that you guys raise on the radio. I mean, I think in my interview process, I even said it's always surprising to me that we're the only city in Sonoma County that doesn't have, like, concerts in the park.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. We got rid of the movies in the park, and it's just like, I don't understand, you know, why. I think this could be a hub, a place where people can really develop that sense of community. Why? I mean, if no one else is going to take the reins on that, why not PCA? You know, why not start doing things like that? And I think that's something that would benefit both PCA and the community at large. So that's just one idea that I had, and I'm excited to look into that.
Well, that's why the three of us are here. We're here to stir up the pot. Big paddles here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, a lot. You know, we have the fairgrounds, which is a great thing, you know, which is really exciting. And I think the exciting thing about this election is the public is not going to be kept out of the loop with the fairgrounds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If the election had gone a different way, we would not have been, in my opinion, part of that. And that's the most valuable piece of property in this community. And there's so much that can be done because it is right in the middle. And, you know, make it more walkable community. I think it's exciting times. And I think, and the other thing with radio is I dropped my cable because I just got tired of the monthly cost. It was, you know, over $200 and you were just getting basic junk.
Mm.
And so I dropped cable. I started listening to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I really enjoy listening, except you really have to change the way you think because visually versus hearing is really different. And, you know, with the TV, I could go backwards if I miss something. Mm. With the podcast, I'm just learning that. But I think radio is a great thing.
Yeah, and it's also easier to use. Mm-hmm. We've seen that the training, the learning curve is quicker. We can train somebody in about an hour. And with video, you've got editing and that sort of thing. So that was one of the second phase things we were noticing is that our membership was dropping. People were making movies with their iPhones and putting it on YouTube. So we were, I wouldn't say sinking, but we were floundering a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio just popped everything right to another level. We've got 50 people coming in now doing radio shows.
Wow.
And we have a threshold to hit where it really becomes a reflex for Petalumans to turn it on. We haven't hit that yet, but we're still working on technical, so maybe it's a good thing we haven't hit it yet. We're struggling with the automation, and but it's growing fast, and I think this is the pony we should hitch our wagon to because this is where we'll get our fundraising. The attraction of the radio, the impact it has on the community, the voices of the community, that's the real exciting part of this job is we're dealing with creative people and they all come in with energy and we used to have maybe a dozen people come in a day. Now we've got 30 or 40 coming through here and it just keeps us on our toes. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Productive fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So are you finding then that there's still fewer people coming in and doing video? Is that still
We still have people coming in doing video, but it used to be we would have people editing till 8 o'clock. They'd come in after work. That's not happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's the usual suspects that are coming in.
Yeah.
And our motto, our priority here is anybody who walks in the door gets the best we can give them. and what they need. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a filmmaking background too, but at a certain point, well, I was working in Europe, and it was documentary film work was underwritten by the government by about a third.
Right.
Coming back to the United States, raising the money for a documentary was heroic work. and I started thinking of teaching and that sort of thing, and then it was the creativity of others that I wanted to facilitate and support. And we've got a lot of creatives in this in Petaluma.
Yeah. And to kind of speak to John's point too, I enjoy being around, you know, creative energy and people like that and trying to harness it. You know, I discovered that on film sets. You know, when you work with kids like a Boys and Girls Club, it's a different kind of creativity. But I always say if you can work with, you know, 300 kids a day and their parents, you can pretty much handle any diversity that comes your way or adversity. But, yeah, I mean, John, you know, the people that come in here on the show, the radio, we should mention the, you know, 103.3, you should have that on your preset, right?
Yeah.
Everybody should. Do you guys have that?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you don't, put it on there right now.
Yeah.
You know, let's get that radio dial tuned in.
Yep. Got it all together. And you are listening to 103.3 FM, by the way, KPCA. It's Inside Petaluma. And we have guests here today, John Bertucci and Don Lewis, the outgoing and incoming, respectively, executive directors of Petaluma Community Access. So,
how about another announcement I can make?
What's that?
January 7th, from 4:30 to 6:30, I believe. You can go to City Hall and meet your new council members, meet your new mayor. There's going to be an open house. And, you know, we should be there and maybe asking some questions, you know, and making sure that it's on the radio, what's going on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going there and meeting the incoming council members and the mayor. I'm very happy with the way the election turned out, as, you know, I think most of Petaluma. And I think, Janice, you spoke to it, you know, Petaluma's at a kind of a critical juncture. There is a division. Both personality-wise and I think city-wise, too. You know, there shouldn't be an east side, west side, you know. And I loved your comment about the fairgrounds, too. I mean, that's exactly my thought with, like, if you could do a concert in the park. And I know there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen with that property. But it's right in the middle, like you said. And, it's, and it would be such a great spot. You know, I mean, the races are fun, and it's a classic Petaluma thing, you know. But it's also, there could be a lot more being done there. And I don't know, you know, who's going to take the reins on that. I don't know if, you know, maybe you could speak to that more than I could.
I think when the new council comes in, I think this is part of a discussion that they need to have with the public. And I really believe that it's going to be an open process because of the election. And I think it's just really exciting. You know, I think people, you need to have some workshops about what people really want there. But the city also needs to understand let us understand what the parameters are. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we really looking at? Is the fair going to be staying? And what does it mean that the fair is staying? You know, people say we want the fair to stay. Does that mean we want the rides to come every year for 5 days? We want the agriculture to stay? Do we want both? How are you going to connect all the dots?
Don't forget the classic 80s bands that come every year. That's pretty much the highlight of my summer. You know, seriously,
exactly.
Yeah, I hope the fair stays.
Right.
I mean, do you guys get a sense that the community's, like, engaged in this? I mean, it seems, and I'm sure this has been talked to death, but, I mean, people, the bathtub issue, the bathtubs on stilts, I've never seen Petaluma so tuned in and fired up about something as those.
Dutro is a big deal.
That's true. Yeah, and that's still going on. They're still trying to sneak it in there. But, you know, I don't. You get a sense that the community's engaged with the fairgrounds or just kind of like,
I don't think they're quite engaged yet.
Yeah, well, it's
a larger community.
We need the workshops.
We need the workshops to do that.
We have an incoming council that's more tuned in to making that happen.
And, you know, and we want to make sure that, you know, this election, there was a lot of heartache between all the campaign material that was being brought into our community. And I'm really looking forward to maybe the police working with the progressives on the city council instead of against them. Yeah. And I think we have a lot of opportunity there. And I think what happened with this election should be an eye-opener for all of us, that we're in this together, and it's not we against they. I'm really hoping that's going to be changing because I have personally been attacked by the police department with robocalls and many other issues. And I'm not the only one. And I'm just really looking forward to it because I know a lot of the police officers. My kids went to school with them. And, you know, when we see each other, you know, I saw, who was on the show? The two officers, Welsh, Jeremy. You know, I saw him the other before Christmas, and we were Safeway on Cinnamon Mountain Parkway, and it was like, you know, you hugged each other. You know, we feel like we're friends, and that's kind of what I would literally like to see, a combination working with the police department closer.
Right. I think there's a good opportunity. It's mentioned in the newspaper. There's an article about the specter of revenues and the obvious fact that there's probably going to need to be a tax increase.
Right.
And, you know, the police can help with that effort in trying to get that passed. Obviously, before that happens, we have to come up with something that can be approved and accepted by the voters. So that's going to be a process. There's some people that are opposed to any sales tax. There's some people that would rather do transaction taxes on real estate. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to discuss in terms of coming together as a council to support a tax measure that we can all get behind. Because as we know, that didn't happen the last time. We wasted a lot of money on a ballot measure that people didn't accept. That measure Q, forever tax, it was too high and too long.
It was a forever tax.
Yeah, so that's going to be key, is making sure that whatever we come up with, we don't have a division on the council on, and it's something that the community can embrace.
And I think that's what the council's looking at, what you're hearing.
Now, when the both of you were talking about the police,
yeah.
You're talking about the Police Officers Association more
we're
specifically,
talking about
right?
That is correct.
Yes.
That's
okay.
Correct.
I just wanted to make that
clear. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Thanks for the clarity.
Yeah.
There's another factor that I've noticed, and I think it's important for the outreach of KPCA. It's the new demographic of Petaluma.
Yep.
Janice and I, we have a lot of mutual friends from high school, and there's always been divisions in Petaluma. It's been a very vocal and exciting place to be. City Hall, our City Hall broadcasts on PCA were spectator sports.
Yes, they were.
And we'd have people who would watch at home, and then they'd see their item come up, and they'd run down and make a comment. So it's always been a very active political, and I think that's a good sign. But what I noticed when I was out looking for houses last summer is we got a lot of big money coming in from San Francisco, new kids, rich, and the trick will be to get them to grok the community spirit here and become part of it. Because We've got a storybook downtown that's charming. It attracts a lot of people, but we've also got a texture and a web of people who work together. And I think bringing those new people into that will be a key, and bringing them to the radio could be part of that.
As quote old timers, I'm really welcoming the new people. You know, I was raised on a ranch. I watched the East Side grow, and they were all newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, on a Facebook post, somebody about the fine balance is what I call it, not the tubs, which I...
Well, that is the name of it.
It is called fine balance. Somebody, an old-time farming family or member of one just, blasted the new people coming in here and, we don't want this and we don't want these new people. Well, these new people, I really like the new people coming in. They're bringing a lot of different ideas. They're bringing more art into the community. They're bringing more dialogue. I think it's a great idea of having new people come into a community, but the community can still somewhat stay the same, but we're just growing. And I think we need to learn how to welcome people instead of fighting.
Well, the other thing is a lot of people are coming here because of what we've got. When I came here back in 2000, I was enamored with what you have here, what we all have here now. I mean, it's very nice. We want to keep it quaint. We want to keep it nice. Obviously, it has to grow, but it has to grow responsibly. So I think, actually, a lot of the new people that are coming in are very on board with smart growth policies and sustainable development. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good thing.
That's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're coming here because they're trying to get away from all of the sprawl and the craziness.
And all three of us at one time or another have been accused for not wanting any growth here.
Right.
And that's not true. That's never been true. It's smart growth that we've all embrace.
Well, that's propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's all, Angela and Jason both spoke to that. You know, there's a rift between old-time Petaluma, and yeah. I think, again, the bathtubs was exemplary of that. Yeah. You know, like old-school Petaluma, you know, people wanted, you know, well, where's the cows and chickens? This should be the art that we're looking at. And there needs to be a way to get everybody together, like you're saying. And, you know, that's where the division is, I think, is old-school Petaluma and new. And I think that people coming in here, you know, if you're moving to Petaluma, yeah. you're not moving here because it's an affordable place to live. And I think those people... We need to find a way to make them pay a little more, especially development-wise. That bird might have already flown. Well, you know, I mean, there's
places to build. It's relative, though. A lot of them are coming up from the city because they can't afford to live in the city.
Right.
A lot of them are also coming here, though, because they want to have a family and they want to raise them in a nice town, and Petaluma is a nice town.
Absolutely.
Schools and everything. But
I think it really goes back to smart development. And we talk about smart development, but we have not really done a lot of smart development in this community. We're looking at, I bring this up almost every show, we look at Deer Creek.
Yeah.
And what we really wanted, what could have happened at Deer Creek is making that more into a community with more restaurants, more places to go.
Well, now they're proposing housing.
Well, and it needed housing to integrate that. So now they're going to be putting housing there as a secondary.
Yeah.
So personally, Freedman should have always been at the target site because big rigs going up and down McDowell are tearing those roads apart.
Yeah.
And you could not get Mike Healy on the city council, and I'll talk about him because he really pushed Deer Creek, and he would not talk about housing.
No.
And I know that the developers of Deer Creek, Merlin Geyer, I know they know how to do good projects.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen their projects. And they just got bamboozled into coming into Petaluma. And they said, this is what we'll do for you. This is what we want. And in the meantime, they did not follow their own direction of what the company really does. And so we have a lot of vacancies in both the Target site and Deer Creek. Mm-hmm. And we have these big rigs tearing up McDowell.
My understanding of it, too, is that when there was a study done a decade ago, that the biggest spot we were losing money was, like, people going out of town for lumber and things like that, and also for retail. But by the time we get around to building that stuff, the internet is, I mean, you know, it's changed
that was
everything.
That was already happening.
And that's the smart growth thing. It's like, it's just not, and the east side, too, it's become, I mean, it's all chain restaurants, you know? I mean, all we need is a Carl's Jr. We've got every single fast food on that side of town, you know? I mean, and it's, and that, I think, is, it's kind of unfair. I mean, I don't want fast food all over Petaluma or whatever, but I mean, it makes people feel like we're on the east side, it's all chains. I mean, Freeman's is locally owned, but it's still, you know, it's a pretty big company.
It's big.
And we got Dunkin' Donuts over there, and, you know, and Mary's Pizza is local, too. But, I mean, the turnover, you know, we had that Dickie's Barbecue there. That was, like, two months and gone. It's the turnover there in Target. It's just, like, you know, retail space is, like, there's tons of it here.
It's saturated.
It did not have to be with smart growth, because I went to every one of those hearings, and you didn't get anywhere because they played a campaign. And this is what happens in a lot of communities. Let's do a campaign and let's say why all of Freedman's friends were there. I mean, there's tons of people in the audience. I knew them all. Nobody came on the other side because it wasn't sexy. People get afraid to speak in public. And you had, you know, big people in town getting up and saying, we need Freedman's. We need to support this family. And nobody was not supporting them. It's called location.
Yeah. I just wonder how Rex Hardware felt. You know, they burned down previous to that. Everybody was in love with Rex Hardware. They're like, great. That's super. Bring in Freedman Brothers. That's a locally owned business that's been here forever.
But, you know, and Rex Hardware does a phenomenal business because when I need to get certain things, I go to Rex Hardware.
Absolutely.
Or I have to go up to Hardesty's in Santa Rosa where I can just go here to get
I love Rex. I love Rex Hardware. So, not to go on a whole promotion for them.
let's not forget Masari and Sons, too. It's a great local. They kind of left out of the conversation.
And they
really
are completely different than
Absolutely.
Rex Hardware.
What's really funny for me with Rex sometimes is I'll drive right past it, just assuming I need to go to Freedman's or something for something. And I'll go there, and I won't find it, and I'll go to another place. And it turns out if I had just gone to Rex's in the first place, they actually had it.
I had to get some canning jars, and they didn't have the size I needed, and it was kind of past the canning season. So, of course, I went to Rex, and they had everything I needed, and it didn't cost me any more money.
Yeah.
You know, it cost me the same.
This segment paid for by Rex.
we got to be careful. No, it's just an experience, though. It's good to have, some local stores with people that care that are there to actually give you quality service. That keeps me from shopping online. Because half the time I don't know what I need. I'm not a plumber,
right.
I want to try to fix something myself, and they'll actually help you, and that's really good. I do have a question on the radio, which we're on right now. Is it technically feasible to have ID information for the program that someone's listening to displayed on a, for example, when I'm driving around in my EV, I've got, you know, pretty nice little car stereo there, and I get information, text, about different programs that are on. Is that possible to do with our station?
You might know better than I if it's technically possible.
Okay.
For us, it's a workload issue.
Got it.
We're still struggling with the automation. There is an effort, an initiative to restyle the websites, and you know, they have to be phone friendly, and there's an expertise that goes with that. And no, it's totally doable. You know, if you Google KWMR or KPU in San Francisco, you see a radio website that is full of all the bells and whistles, and it's a good advertising tool, and it should be developed.
But there's some information in the signal that includes, you know, track ID or, you know,
metadata.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, I mean, I don't know how to do that. I imagine that's some extra thing that you can add to the stream. I just don't know how to do it. But anyway, it crossed my mind the other day because I thought, well, that would be kind of nice if, you know, as you're going, it actually
tells you what you're listening to at the moment. It can be done.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Should be done.
And then the other question I had was, is KPCA broadcasting 24 hours yet, or is it?
Not yet.
Okay.
The automation is the key to that. We're doing a lot of automation from 6 a.m. to midnight now.
Okay.
And we've got a bug in there now where pre-recorded shows that were scheduled at 2 o'clock on Thursday are now playing at 2 o'clock every day.
Oh, okay.
And the program doesn't want to respond to us. We went through three. We're on our third program to get this right.
Okay.
And when that's settled, it'll be 24/7.
That's great.
Can you kind of describe for listeners what you are talking about with automation?
The automation is a program that kicks in when nobody is doing live. In fact, it's running right now.
Okay.
If Cindy were to turn off our mics and bring up the automated slider, we'd be hearing what's already programmed.
Okay.
And that involves pre-recorded shows. Project Censored is pre-recorded. Various shows do their recording elsewhere and give us a file. So those are programmed in their time slots. And when there's nothing programmed, it kicks into a library of music that we've loaded into the computer. And those are, we've had tremendous generosity shown. We have people coming in with boxes of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of material, and DJs are bringing in their CDs because we'd love to structure it so that at a certain 2 hours, you know, you're going to get classical or you're going to get rock, world music, those kind of things.
So you can actually tell the automation system what genre you want to play during a certain period?
We tell the automation system what song to play, and
mm-hmm.
so we have to know the genres, and we group them in that way.
So there's some actual person has to
there's a loading problem, and that also factors into what you were saying before.
Sure.
If we can find an automatic way for the metadata to go from our programming right to your car radio,
that'd
be marvelous. But if we have to have somebody type it in to get it into another system to go out there, that's where it gets to be a wrinkle. But let's just say that we've got this music programmed. Where we're at now is with the third programming program.
Mm-hmm.
If we would probably have to strip the computer and rebuild from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to reload the music. That's all backed up. We just transfer it over. But we do have to go in and say that Tim Buckley's Hello and Goodbye plays at 3:10. Okay, so we have to tell the computer that to play this song from this file that's on this drive at 3:10, and afterward follow with this. And we can do a lot with programming. We can bring in interstitials, announcements. We have to develop an underwriting program because we're a real asset now. PCA with the TV always had an issue with advertising. So it was always expressions of gratitude or for more information, contact, saluting the community effort going into the different businesses and projects in Petaluma. The radio is different. It's FCC. It's a different part of FCC. So we're able to do more overt business thank yous.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and we call it underwriting.
Okay.
And, you know.
Sort of like PBS.
Yeah, the next 3 hours of KPCA are generously supported by so-and-so.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that's a whole program that I think will really needs to be developed to carry on the development of
the
radio.
Yeah, that's business development. So who's going to be – is that the board that's involved with that, or is that the executive director, or just a combination?
I ask like I don't know,
that's
but in
part of
full part. Transparency, I've been on the board before, so
the answer is yes.
I do know
all those things. Yeah, I mean, that's something I'm excited to do. You know, my filmmaking background, you're constantly asking for favors and money and donations and things like that, and I feel comfortable. You know, I think I know enough people around town.
Yeah,
that it's something I'm excited to check out, and I think the more the radio builds, like John said, it's going to become more of an asset and a recognized thing in Petaluma. So I think it's just a smart thing to do.
Well, I am ecstatic to see this take off. I mean, back a few years ago when I was on the board and the topic of radio came up, I was all for it. And it's amazing the interest in it, because you think in this day and age with everybody with their iPhones and YouTube and all that that people have forgotten about radio. But in fact, I mean, you're getting young people coming in and doing their own radio shows. My daughter has a friend in high school who has got his own radio show now.
Yeah, Sunday's a great day for that. Uh-huh. We actually grow up on Sundays after the Pilates at 2 p.m. with Darian. We have Nanners and Boo, 11 and 7 years old, come in with their dad and do a half hour.
That's awesome.
And then Gio Benedetti comes in and does an hour that's called Benedettiville. And I've heard it described as a cross between Mr. Rogers and All Things Considered, and it's full of creativity.
He's an amazing artist.
Oh, yeah.
He is so talented. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Shout out to you, Gio.
Yeah.
And then
he's a great musician.
Then I think you were referring to Ben Vandermeer.
I don't know his name, but my daughter was.
He's great. Right. He's a natural.
He's pretty funny.
He's really got the chat. Oh. And then, you know, it goes on. Sundays is really good for that, and we love it.
It's so interesting to me as to what the attraction is. Is it because it's simpler to produce? There's no editing time?
That's
the live excitement about it?
Well, I think everybody's got a little Wolfman Jack, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up listening to baseball games with my dad on the radio, and there's a charm to it. I love the radio before the sun's come up. I'm making a coffee early in the morning, and the radio's on telling me the weather, and it's just traditionally reassuring.
It's funny you mentioned the Wolfman, because the movie I recall that he was in, where I learned about who the Wolfman was American Graffiti.
Yeah.
It was filmed in Petaluma, so... Very topical.
For me, too. I mean, I'm a huge radio fan. I mean, I listen to CDs, I like just tuning around on the radio. And I'm always been a big fan and supporter of The Crush.
You have strong opinions about what should be played on radio.
I do. I really do. Well, I listen to the radio, and it gets, you know, you hear the same thing all the time.
If
I hear another Eagles song, it's goodness.
Money by Pink Floyd. If I hear that one more time, that's we got in a little argument over that.
Yeah. To be clear, it doesn't mean I don't like the band.
I
just could do with never hearing that song. And it was one of those Tom Petty things, too. I'm like, because every station could be a Tom Petty, you know? And I'm like, every station? Yeah. And then he died. I'm like, oh, no, I feel bad. But, you know, I mean, the Crush in Santa Rosa and Bill Bowker in particular, I mean, if you take a step back and look at what he's brought to Sonoma County, he's literally crafted a music scene in Sonoma County based around the blues and based around his programming. And I think that's amazing. And I think Petaluma can do that, too. We got so many great shows, you know, and it's I think it's like you said, too. It's a little easier. People want to share, and it's a storytelling medium. It's just very, very immediate.
Well, I'm sure this has come up, and maybe some of the radio hosts are already doing this, but has anyone thought about filming this? So that, you know, it's sort of a twofer. You're getting content for the PCA TV channel at the same time as doing a live radio broadcast.
It's on the drawing boards, definitely.
Because you can have
easy
the camera
do.
Just
easy.
Installed,
oh,
and no one has to do anything. Just come in, and
again,
you have to clean up.
Again.
I can't wear my pajamas.
You got to brush your hair.
Again, there's a workload factor that needs to be respected. Because, you know, like, you know, the idea of archiving old shows.
Right.
We don't have the service base or the manpower or womanpower to monitor those files.
Right.
So every producer is responsible for that. The same with video.
Mm-hmm.
The movie muse comes in on Sunday, and she brings in a video and streams it right to her Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So does Dominica, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, so people can do that themselves.
Yeah.
We are a community-based operation. Yeah. We will live or die by the community.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do as much as we can. I used to describe my job as a traffic cop, just to keep things moving in the right direction and not tripping over each other.
But PCA provides enough instructional sessions to allow people to learn how to do all these things.
Yeah, so let's do some plugs for PCA. So if I'm listening to this broadcast and I'm thinking, wow, I'd really like to be on the radio. So what's the first step someone has to have? What are the requirements to come in at PCA and do a radio show?
The requirement is just the desire to do it. That starts the ball rolling.
Okay.
Then there's the training period, and we can gauge pretty quickly if somebody is technically proficient, can handle the sliders and all the different levels. There's always a learning curve, and we're always here to support. Some people have better audio personalities, mm-hmm. and that's something we try to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to have kind of a collegial critiquing so other programmers can respond to the shows they listen to
idea.
And help, kind of our quality control has always been our viewers, on TV we get the calls if the sound's off or something, and we respond as fast as we can. It's a never-ending dance around here.
But just to get specific in the nuts and bolts aspects.
I'm 205 Keller Street.
Okay.
You
got to join.
You got to become a member.
How old do you have to be?
Under 18, we need your parents.
Okay, but you can do it if you got your parents.
And handling the equipment requires an over 18 person.
Okay, and there's a fee.
There's a fee. That's at the door.
And it's a modest fee.
It's modest. It's annual.
And it scales.
Well, there's a scale for people who don't use the equipment, who just want to support us.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the actual producers, and then we have family memberships.
The deals for kids.
Yes, and there's always senior discounts and low income. And, it's a growing process.
So anybody can join.
Anybody.
So you hear that?
Not turned away.
If you want to do a radio show, just come down to PCA.
And this is a good time to do it because we're still figuring it out, and you get in at the ground
floor. There's still slots available.
There's still slots, and I imagine when the slots become pretty full, we're going to do a kind of a comprehensive rescheduling so that there's more logic to what you're listening to, so you don't throw in heavy metal right after spiritual music, gospel music. That has to be oriented, but that's something that's also exciting. It's just not at that stage yet.
And I think people, you guys spoke to it earlier, the internet really took a big bite out of the TV channel.
Yeah.
But people can't do radio on the internet. You can't do a YouTube channel where you're playing music because it'll get flagged by YouTube. So, we have a unique place where people can come in and play music that they're passionate about and they enjoy it. But you can't do that yourself.
Thanks for reminding me. So when you are doing music, because I haven't done a music show here, and I know that Cindy does one, there's a process where you have to report the songs that you're playing to make sure that the royalties get to the artists.
Yeah, that's Spinatron. And Spinatron now actually automatically plugs in a song title when it hears it. There's a cloud-based identification system.
Yeah, probably uses Shazam.
It identifies popular things.
You have to double-check it.
A lot of my stuff doesn't go in because I go to nugs.net and get really underground music because Don doesn't like listening to the Eagles anymore.
I think I'm probably the most novice here, and I'm learning more just by getting rid of Comcast, or not, the AT&T, the DirecTV, whatever we had, and just listening to the podcast. I'm starting to see all these changes that people are flagging you, and sometimes I can't get on, and there's all kinds of changes. And
well, to get back to Jason's scenario of somebody walking in, I wanted to salute Phil and Ariel. Phil Lehman Brown and Ariel moved to Petaluma. We're reading the Argus Courier. In the Argus Courier was an announcement about a stakeholders meeting for a new radio station. Uh-huh. And they didn't know anybody. They came down here. They thought it'd be a good way to get to know people. They were doing two shows. Phil organized two concerts at the Phoenix for KPCA.
Oh, that's great.
And that kind of thing is exciting. We've also got Dominic Delbeni, who does a great show, Origins. And he's a very talented event promoter. He did the big comedy festival last year, and he's doing another one this year, and he's designated PCA as the beneficiary of all the funds.
Well, that's great.
And it's so successful, and he's really good at getting in-kind donations. And he started some work warm-up shows, pop-ups kind of thing. And he's got one coming on Friday, January 18th. Join KPCA for a special presentation of the Crossword Show with Zach Sherwin. This one-of-a-kind show pits comedians against an interactive crossword puzzle hosted by Epic Rap Battle's Zach Sherwin and will feature guest solvers Francesca Fiorentini, Bethany Van Delft, and Natasha Muse. So these events are generated by producing members. They own the station, in a sense, and they're really contributing, and that's really exciting. So when you come to PCA to get a radio station, you're joining a family, a group, a club, and it's a real community.
I will say my experience with other radio producers here has been very positive. I had to fill in for Cindy on the board, and it was great to have help. So it's nice there's a community of fellow radio producers here that are looking out for each other. It's a good thing.
Well, what I love hearing is that we're hearing new people come here.
Yeah.
They want to get involved. They're realizing how important the radio station is. And then, you know, you have old-timers here that are just as excited. And so a community can really come together. And, I mean, this is just heartwarming listening to you guys. I love it.
Yeah, that was a big draw for me for this position is, like I said, you know, I've always been engaged in Petaluma and trying to see, you know, what people want and listening and sometimes arguing and whatnot, but this could be the hub. You know, why not?
Yeah.
If no one else is going to take the reins and do something, why not PCA? Why not KPCA? You know,
absolutely.
I think it's great. And I think the time is now, you know, I mean, and it was, like I said, it's one of the things that really drew me to this position was like the potential, you know, and there's a potential for anybody in Petaluma to have a radio show, which I think that's awesome.
It's a way of engaging in your community, and I mean, that is a real engagement.
And it's something you bring to the table, too, that you're
absolutely
passionate about, so it's not some, you know, you join a board or something like that, maybe you're not passionate, you're just doing it to put on your resume, but this is something that looks great on your resume, and you can share things you're passionate about with your community. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You're listening to Inside Petaluma right here on KPCA 103.3 FM, and we've been talking with John Bertucci, who is our retiring executive director, and with Don Lewis, who is the incoming new executive director. So,
and I do want to give a shout-out here to the amazing staff we've got here at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Those early years, a lot of staff turnover, and it was all a question of when they come in, what are they good at? We have 100 jobs to do. If they can do 20 of them, that's a win. And we've got a staff now that all of them have been here at least 2 years. That's remarkable in itself. And there's a real enthusiasm and team spirit. In particular, I want to signal out Rob Tomaszewski, who came on as a consultant to help us get our MOU written with the JC for the antenna. All these processes go into it. You know, Rob was a road manager for John Lee Hooker. He was out on the road doing a lot of music
awesome
things. So he's got a real sense of creative energy coming together to put on a show. And he's been guiding the growth of this station really well. Patty, Nellie, and Jeff, the four of them
yeah,
are the four corners of the house that PCA built.
So it's not as fun to talk about. It's much more fun to talk about creative content development, but the funding thing. How is PCA funded generally? I mean, I know the answer. I'm asking this for the listeners.
I guess I should answer that one. We basically, the bulk of our operating budget comes as pass-through funds through the city on peg fees attached to cable service. And that's AT&T and Comcast in Petaluma at the moment. The cable provider can change, but the basic plan is set up. And that is a stable, it's modest, $250,000 a year, but it's kept us alive. It's plenty to do low-profile work. But for the growth of the radio, we're going to have to expand that resource. And I think underwriting will be a big deal. We had the Envelope Please fundraiser. We ran that for 3 years at the Mystic. It was a great event. It was more for a thank you
right
kind of celebration for those people who supported us through the year. We're not going to be able to do that this year. We're going to look for other venues and projects to draw people. We've got a Lagunitas fundraiser night planned for May 20th.
Great.
And we're, you know, and we have a subcommittee working on getting the band, and with all the musical energy that comes into this little booth, we've got contacts to a lot of exciting bands. So mm-hmm. that's growing. I think the underwriting is the peg mm-hmm. to really develop and nail, mm-hmm. because Cindy was saying, you know, she meets people and they say, how can I help? Where do I donate? Well, you can always send us a check. That's not hard to do. We'll take any check you send. I've gotten a $5 check saying, I love what you're doing. But to really system, to build a program, I think it is, you know, it is a board function to raise the money.
Right.
When you enter into an underwriting, that's contract. So there is a certain importance to getting it right yeah. and developing a system. Yeah. And then when the reflex to listen to KPCA is ingrained in Petaluma, I can't imagine a business that isn't going to want to have their name on it.
Now, I know PCA in the past, or maybe you're doing it currently, has engaged with other communities that needed resources in terms of videoing meetings and things like that. Is that still something that PCA is involved with?
We're doing it for two cities, Cotati and Rohnert Park. That's a... that is a client relationship, and it's a high-profile company.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's not a big moneymaker, but it's the stability. You know, we depend on the pass-through money from the city of Petaluma.
Right.
And the cities work together, and there is a requirement that they record all their meetings.
Yeah.
So it's a need. It is a staff burden, in a sense. I mean, if you look at the pie chart, there's a chunk that goes into making sure that works. Patty does that. But Patty also has a job that could have her doing outreach and those web improvements you suggested. So
yeah.
We've got to parse what her workload is, and that's up to Don now to figure out.
Lots to do.
I'm excited to be here, and I just want to encourage anybody to listen, come down, you know, see what we're all about, take a tour, say hello.
Well, again, I want to thank John. Let's thank John.
Thank you, John. Yay!
You're welcome on board, Don.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for both of you coming on and being our guests today. We've been talking with John Bertucci and Don Lewis, outgoing and incoming executive directors right here at KPCA 103.3 FM. And we also stream live all of our shows at www.kpca.fm. And you can also listen to our shows anytime, anywhere from your computer at insidepetaluma.com. Is that it, kids? I guess that's it. I think that's it.
Thank
everybody
so
have
much.
A good weekend.
Have
next week.
Yep.
We'll see you 11 to noon.
Thanks.
Bye.